ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ गणानां त्वा गणपतिगं हवामहे कविं कवीनामुपमश्रवस्तमम् ज्येष्ठराजम् ब्रह्मणाम् ब्रह्मणस्पत आनश्रण्वन्नोतिभिः सीदसादनम् ॐ श्रीमहागणपतये नमः ॐ सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ विल् डू दिस् केन सामवेद शान्तिपाठ ॐ केन ॐ आप्यायन्तु ममाङ्गानि वाक्प्राणश्चक्षुश्रोत्रमथो बलमिन्द्रियाणि च सर्वाणि सर्वं ब्रह्मोपनिषदम् माहं ब्रह्म निराकुर्याम् मामा ब्रह्म निराकरोत् अनिराकरणमस्त्वनिराकरणम् मे अस्तु अनिराकरणमस्त्वनिराकरणम् मे अस्तु निराकरणमस्त्वनिराकरणम् मे अस्तु तदात्मनि निरते य उपनिषत्सु धर्मास्ते मयि सन्तो ते मयि सन्तो ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ आप्यायन्तु ममाङ्गानि वाक्प्राणश्चक्षुश्रोत्रमथो चक्षुश्रोत्रमथो बलमिन्द्रियाणि च सर्वाणि ॐ आप्यायन्तु ममाङ्गानि वाक्प्राणश्चक्षुश्रोत्रमथो चक्षुश्रोत्रमथो बलमिन्द्रियाणि च सर्वाणि सर्वं ब्रह्मोपनिषदम् सर्वं ब्रह्मोपनिषदम् माहं ब्रह्म निराकुर्याम् माहं ब्रह्म निराकुर्याम् मामा ब्रह्म निराकरोत् अनिराकरणमस्त्वनिराकरणम् मे अस्तु अनिराकरणमस्त्वनिराकरणम् मे अस्तु तदात्मनि निरते धर्मास्ते मयि सन्तो
य
తదాత్మని నిరతే య ఉపనిషత్సు ధర్మాస్తే మయి సంతో య ఉపనిషత్సు ధర్మాస్తే మయి సంతో తే మయి సంతో ఓం శాంతి 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 సో దిస్ శాంతి మంత్ర ఎవ్రీ స్టూడెంట్ హూ స్టడీస్ శాస్త్రం బిగిన్స్ హిస్ స్టడీ విత్ ద ఇన్ పీస్ ఇన్వోకేషన్ ద శాంతి పాఠ అండ్ సీకింగ్ ది గ్రేస్ ఆఫ్ భగవాన్ ఇన్ ది ఫార్మ్ ఆఫ్ ది దేవతాస్ ఇన్ ఆర్డర్ టు ఎలిమినేట్ ది ఆబ్స్టకల్స్ విచ్ మే హ్యాపన్ ఇన్ ది కోర్స్ ఆఫ్ స్టడీ టు వార్డ్ ఆఫ్ ది ఆబ్స్టకల్స్ to be able to continue to study, to be able to study and to be able to complete the study, the student seeks the grace of the Lord. And in this general, that is the prayer in any peace invocation, the general prayer, and in this also there are four things involved in the Shanti Mantraha. What are the four factors involved in the Shanti Mantraha? The first factor that is sought by a student is physical well-being and the emotional well-being, which implies he prays for the well-being of the entire physical body and also the subtle body. All the 17 factors which constitute the subtle body should be perfectly healthy, and the physical body also must be healthy. Only then the Shastra study will be proper. Only then understanding of subject matter of the Shastram will be clear. Understanding, study of the Shastram and understanding of the subtle subject matter of the Shastram will be possible only if a person's physical body as well as his subtle body, the 16 factors which constitute subtle body, are all healthy. That is the first factor. So he says, ఆప్యాయంతు మమాంగాని వాక్ ప్రాణశ్చక్షు శ్రోత్రమథో బలమింద్రియాణి చ సర్వాణి. Isn't it? Till then, he seeks physical emotional well-being, which implies the physical fitness and the well-being of the entire sukshma shariram, which consists of 17 factors. Then, sarvam brahma upanishadam maham brahma nirakuryam. So, the second thing is the Shraddha in the Shastram. So, we can say the Astikya Buddhihi. He prays for physical emotional well-being, which implies the well-being of the physical body and the Sukshma Shariram, entire Sukshma Shariram. Second thing he prays for is Astikya Buddhihi. Astikya Buddhihi means the unflinching faith in the words of Shastram, thereby unflinching faith in the existence of very Brahman, reality. That is implied by the word Sarvam Brahma Upanishadam Maham Brahma Nirakuryam. What does it mean? May I not ignore Brahman, Nirakuryam? Why he says now, It is because Brahman, the absolute reality, happens to be the subtlest reality, not available for any thought perception or sense perception. It is easy for one not to believe the existence of reality, because we're so used to believe things which are available for thought perception or sense perception. If things are not available for perception at all, then we will not believe the very existence of a thing. Because Brahman definitely is not available for thought perception, nor is it available for sense perception. So it is natural for a mind to retaliate, to rebel and to say, no, there is no such thing called Brahman. I don't believe in the existence of Brahman. It is easy for one to ignore the very existence of Brahman. Therefore, he says, the very prayer is what, may I have great Shraddha in the words of Shastram. Faith in the words of Shastram. So may I have the great faith in the words of Shastram means, may not ignore Brahman, may not become indifferent to the very existence of Brahman. No, may I be blessed with the clarity that I should be able to accept the very existence of Brahman first. Mechanically accepting is different, isn't it? One should have wholeheartedly, one should accept the existence of Brahman. Only then you can try to know what Brahman is. So he says, because it is possibility, all possibilities, mind can do anything. And that is why he says, Maham Brahma Nirakuriyam. May I not ignore Brahman means, may I have the great Shraddha in the existence of Brahman. How, by having Shraddha in the words of Shastram, in the very Shastram itself, so which is implied by one single word, Astikya Buddhihi. So, physical well-being, emotional well-being, then the Shraddha is the third thing. Astikya Buddhihi is the prayer. Then, Mama Brahma Nirakarot Anirakaranam Astva Nirakaranam Me Astu. The third thing, so may Brahman not ignore me. Here he seeks, in the third line, he invokes the grace of Sagunam Brahma Ishwaraha. The third line, Mama Brahman Nirakarot means, may Brahman not ignore me. What does it mean? That means he invokes Sagunam Brahma, Saguna Ishwaraha. Thereby he seeks grace. He seeks grace. That may the Lord bless me, may the Lord bless me with everything I need in order to be able to study the Shastram. So that may Brahman not ignore means what? May Lord not ignore me. That's the meaning. Mama Brahma Nirakarot Anirakaranam Astva Nirakaranam Me Astu. That is repetition. Anirakaranam Astu Anirakaranam Me Astu means, let there not be any ignoring of the Lord on the part of the Lord. May the Lord also not ignore me. Isn't it? May I have the grace of the Lord to be able to understand the Lord through the study of Shastram by having Shraddha in subject matter of the Shastram, that Brahman. Tadatmani nirateya upanishatsu dharmaste mayi santo te mayi santo. So the fourth prayer is, fourth factor is asked is dharma anushtanam. Dharma anushtanam is the fourth factor. Okay? You can say, Sharira Arogyam. No, Sthula Sharira Arogyam. Sukshma Sharira Arogyam. Astikya Buddhihi. Ashraddha. And fourth is what now? Dharma Anushtana. Anushtana Shaktihi. So fourth one is what now? May all those values and disciplines prescribed in the Shastram or revealed in the Shastram be in me. May those values and disciplines revealed in the Shastram be in me means what? May I have the values and disciplines revealed in the Shastram assimilated. That means, may I live a life of values and disciplines. Because he knows the value of following disciplines and values. The fourth factor. So you can say, the four things are, the in peace invocation, the Shanti Pataha consists of four factors, four aspects of the prayer by the student, by the seeker. Sharira Arogyam, Sthula Sharira Arogyam, Sthula Sukshma Sharira Arogyam. Now, then Astikya Buddhihi Arshaddha. Then fourth aspect is what? And also, Ishra's grace, Saguna Ishra Anugraha. And you can say the values. Dharma Anushtanam. Saguna Ishra Anugraha. Or you can say Ishra Anugraha. Then next factor is Dharma Anushtana Shaktihi. So these are the important factors revealed in the Shanti Mantra. So we'll read it again anyway. So the last part of the introductory bhashyam we were seeing, I think I completed it, but still we can read the last bit. Sishya Acharya. Can you see the last bit of the bhashyam? Sishya Acharya. Say now. Prashna. Prativachana Rupena. Kathanam Tu. Sukshma Vastu Vishayatvat. Sukha Pratipatti Karanam Bhavati. Karanam Bhavati. What he says in this line, the whole Upanishad, this and any Upanishad in general, but this Upanishad also, like any other Upanishad, is in the form of Sishya Acharya Prashna Prativachana Rupena Kathanam. Kathanam means teaching or presentation or saying Kathanam. In the form of what? The teaching is in the form of what? In the form of Rupena. In what form is it? In the form of Prashnaha and Prativachanam. Prashnaha, question. Prativachanam, answer. So, Kathanam is in the form of Prashnaha and Prativachanam. The teaching, the Upanishad, the Upanishadic teaching is in the form of question and answer. In the form of dialogue involving a question and answer. Who is questioned by whom? Sishya Acharya. So, in the form of the question by the student and the answer by the teacher. The teaching is in the form of a dialogue between the student and the teacher in the form of question and answer. So, such presentation, such teaching, you what now? Sukha Pratipatti Karanam Bhavati. That becomes a means for easy understanding or effortless understanding. So understanding will not be difficult. Sukha Pratipattihi means what? Pratipattihi means understanding. Sukha Pratipattihi means what now? Easy understanding. It becomes a means for easy understanding, or it becomes, the teaching in the form of dialogue makes the teaching easily understandable. Sukha pratipatti karanam bhavati. Why otherwise he says sukshma vishayatvat. Sukshma vishayatvat means what? Subject matter of the Upanishad being the subtle subject matter. Sukshma vishayatvam. Upanishad's subject matter is sukshma vishayaha. The subject matter of the Upanishad is sukshma vishayaha. Subtlest vastu happens to be the subject matter of the Upanishad. It is difficult to understand the teaching of the Upanishad, but this teaching being in the form of dialogue between the student and the teacher, this becomes easy for understanding. Okay. Now he says, kevala, say no, tarka, agamyatvamcha, darshitam bhavati. So this teaching in the form of dialogue, through that, something else also becomes revealed. What is that which becomes revealed here? He says, kevala tarka agamyatvam. Kevala tarkaha means mere logic. Kevala tarka means mere logic. Agamyatvam means, gamyatvam means what now? Understandable. Agamyatvam means what now? Ununderstandable. So ununderstandable means what is ununderstandable? The subtlest subject matter being not understandable by mere logic also becomes revealed by this dialogue. That means what? Mere logic is not enough to understand the truth. One needs to use Shastram as a means, and the Shastram also should be added with the help of the teacher. The very teaching of the Upanishad proves that understanding or knowledge of the truth is not attainable, not reachable by mere logic. By mere logic means what? By using one's own intellect, one can arrive at conclusions. You know, here, by mere logic, by using only one's own intellect also, one cannot understand the truth. That means what? One has to study this, understand the truth. Truth is understandable only if you study with the help of the teacher. Study of the Shastram with the help of the teacher. So Shastra's importance and the Shastra's study with the help of the teacher, both aspects are also highly emphasized by this dialogue, by teaching in the form of dialogue. So, kevala tarka agamyatvam cha darshitam bhavati. So, Shankara quotes Shruti words here. Naisha, you know, tarkena matihi apaneya iti shrutescha. So, shrutescha means what here? There's another statement of the Shrutihi. Shrutehe vakyam means what? There is another statement of the Shrutihi which also reveals the same fact. What fact? That the knowledge of the truth cannot be attained by pure logic, by mere logic, without the help of the Shastram and the teacher. Without studying the Shastram, with the help of the teacher, by mere logic, the truth cannot be understood. The knowledge of the truth cannot be gained. That is revealed by another statement of the Shruti also. No, he says that நைஷா மதிஹி தர்க்கேண ஆபனேயா ந ஏஷா மதிஹி திஸ் நாலெட்ஜ் ஆஃப் த ட்ரூத் தர்க்கேன பை மியர் நால் மியர் லாஜிக் ந ஆபனேயா கெனாட் பி அக்காம்ப்ளிஷ்ட் இஸ் நாட் அக்காம்ப்ளிஷபிள் இஸ் நாட் அட்டைனபிள் சோ வாட் டஸ் இட் மீன் நவ் ஒன் ஹேஸ் டு நோ த ட்ரூத் அண்ட் ட்ரூத் இஸ் த சட்லஸ்ட் and truth is revealed by Sadhva Shastram, but studying the Shastram with the help of the teacher, definitely the teaching becomes easily understandable. And by mere logic also, one cannot gain the knowledge of the truth. One has to gain knowledge of the truth only with the help of Shastram, only by studying the Shastram with the help of the teacher. That much is revealed till now. And he quotes one more sentence. Acharyavan purushaha veda. Acharyavan purushaha veda. Acharyavan purushaha veda. This is another statement from the Shruti, the Vedanta Upanishad. Acharyavan purushaha veda. That means what? Acharyavan purushaha means the one who has a teacher. Is Acharyavan Purushaha. The person who has a proper teacher alone knows the truth. Then one more sentence he quotes. Acharyadhaiva. Acharyadhaiva. Vidya vidita. Sadhishtam. Prapade. Iti. Another quotation. Quotation number one is over. The second quotation is over. The third quotation. What does he say? Acharyat hi eva. Acharyat dhaiva. Acharyat hi eva. Vidya vidita sadhishtam prapate. Then vidya vidita, the knowledge known, knowledge gained. From whom? Acharyat, from the teacher. The knowledge gained from the teacher alone, sadhishtam prapate, becomes effective, is effective, serves the purpose. Knowledge gained through the teacher, gained from the teacher, gained with the help of the teacher alone, now becomes effective, becomes useful. That means what? It otherwise doesn't serve the purpose. Then, so these two sentences again emphasizes the importance of studying the Shastram definitely with the help of the teacher. Self-study is being not accepted by the Shastram is revealed by these two statements. Okay. So first, Naisha Tarkena Matihi Apaneya, that statement reveals the mere logic being not enough, Shastra's importance. Shastra's importance is emphasized by saying mere logic is not enough for knowledge. What is that quotation? Eshat Matihi Tarkena Na Apaneya. And Acharyavan Purushaha Veda, Acharyad eva vidya vidita sadhishtam prapat. That sentence, these two statements, and also the following one, tadvidhi pranipatena, three quotations emphasize the Shastra, that Shastram also should be studied with the help of the teacher, not independently. Okay? Tadvidhi pranipatena, தத்வித்தி பிரணிபாதேன இத்யாதி. சோ தத்வித்தி பிரணிபாதேன பரிப்ரஷ்னேன சேவையா. திஸ் இஸ் ஸ்டேட்மெண்ட். மே ஒன் நோ த ட்ரூத் ஹவு? பை டூயிங் ப்ராஸ்ட்ரேஷன்ஸ் டு த ஃபீட் ஆஃப் த டீச்சர் அண்ட் ஆல்சோ பை சர்விங் த டீச்சர். இட் மீன்ஸ் பீயிங் வித் த டீச்சர் வித் த ஹெல்ப் ஆஃப் த டீச்சர் இத்தியாதி. தஸ் முதலிய Shruti Smriti Niyamat Cha. Now, as ordained by the Shrutihi and the Smritihi, Kaschit, someone, Gurum Brahmanishtam Vidhivatu Upetya, having approached or approaching the Guru, the teacher, in a proper manner, Vidhivatu, in a proper manner, and the Guru must be what? No, Brahmanishtaha, one who has clear understanding of Brahman, and then one who knows the teaching methodology approach. May one gain this knowledge. I can split the sentence there. Kaschite Brahmanishtam Gurum Vidivat Upetya. We can say Jnanam Prapnyat. May one gain the knowledge by properly approaching the teacher, a proper teacher who knows, who has clear vision of Brahman and who knows the method of unfoldment. And for a person to be able to approach the teacher with the commitment, he should know what? That is said in the next sentence. Pratyagatma Vishayat Anyatta Sharanam Apashyan. Pratyagatma Vishayat Anyatra Sharanam Apashyan. Apashyan means not seeing any other remedy, not seeing any other refuge, other than, not seeing anything else or any other refuge, any other remedy, no, other than the knowledge of the self. Other than the knowledge of the self, seeing the self knowledge alone as the only remedy, only refuge, this person approaches the, asks the teacher, what did he ask for? He says, Sharanam Apashyan Abhayam Nityam Shivam Achalam Ichchan. This person approaches the teacher and asks for the knowledge of that which is free from fear, they be free from time limitation, which is of the nature of auspiciousness, and which is immovable and unchanging. Okay, he wants to know only one thing, Ichchan. He wants to know only one thing, Ichchan Papracha. He, the student, approached the teacher and asked. Papracha means had asked. He asked, literally it means had asked, past perfect tense. So you can say the student asked the teacher. He asked for what? He asked for desiring to know, Ichchan, wanting to know the truth, that which is not fraught with fear, which is free from fear, Abhayam, and which is eternal, Nityam, and Shivam, which is auspicious, and Achalam, which is immovable. Iti kalpete, it is imagined here. Kalpete, it is thought over like this. We assume here that the student who approaches the teacher, he approaches the teacher and he asks for what? He asks for the knowledge of the self. Now, when he asks for knowledge of the self, what does he want to know? He wants to know that which is free from fear, which is eternal, which is immovable, which is unmoving, unchanging, and which is of the nature of auspiciousness, which is auspicious. Auspicious means what? That which does not cause any sorrow at all, that which is free from sorrow also. Is it clear now? He asks. So this much he said here in the introductory Bhashyam. The last part which we read today emphasizes the importance of Shastram as a Pramanam. Mere logic should not be used. Shastram should be followed as a means of knowledge. And the Shastram also should be studied with the help of the teacher. There are three important points. Okay? And he also sees what self-knowledge is the only means for moksha. So, people always ask this question. Should we believe that Vedanta Shastra study is the only pramanam? There is no other pramanam. Yes, if you ask me, I'll tell Vedanta Shastra study is the only pramanam. There is no other pramanam in the world to attain self-knowledge. Vedanta Shastra study is the only pramanam. Vedantam is the only pramanam. There is no other pramanam. If anybody questions you for the sake of argument, because the very questions not arrive when you come to study of Shastram. You have come to study of Shastram with the Shraddha. That's why Astikya Buddhihi. Because the doubt, your own doubt will come and take you away. All unnecessary waste of time. Your mind will be taken away from the very study of the Shastram. The mind may come, Buddhi may come with all sorts of things. Why should you say Vedanta is the only pramanam? Why can't you say something else is available as the pramanam? How can you say there's no other pramanam? You know? How can you say, because I haven't come across any other pramanam. Just because I say I haven't come across any other pramanam, I cannot say there's no other pramanam also, but I can say here, there's no other pramanam. This is the only pramanam available. There's no other pramanam. If there's any other pramanam, the very question of your asking question is not necessary. Then you could have gone for the pramanam. If there's any other pramanam available, then you need not come to this pramanam, you can go to that pramanam. Isn't it? If it is available, you go to that pramanam. Don't need to come to this pramanam. This is the only pramanam available. And then even if such pramanam is available, see, Vedanta Shastram never denies the existence of Mahatmas, Rishis anywhere in the world. But Rishis might have existed, Rishis might have given the vision also, wisdom also, but there is no teaching tradition, there is no pramanam available. Because it has not been preserved anywhere else, even if it is. So, authentically we can say, Vedanta Shastram is the only pramanam with sampradaya, the teaching tradition, available anytime as the means of knowledge of the truth. There is no other pramanam. We go to the mantra now. We enter into the first mantra. Om Keneshitam Patati Preshitam Manaha Keneshitam Patati Preshitam Manaha Kena Pranaha Prathamaha Praityuktaha Keneshitam Vachamimam Vadanti Chakshushrotram Kavudevo Yunakti Keneshitam Vachamimam Vadanti Chakshushrotram Kavu Devo Yunakti. See, this first mantra begins with the question by a student. So, the very question asked by the student shows the standard of the student also. The student is not a totally a novice person. He is not clear-headed. He does not know. But the very question proves that he knows something. What does he know? He knows very clearly here the physical body, the mind, the pranas, the sense organs, the organs of actions, they are all definitely inert in nature. Not only they, why they are inert in nature? Because they are all material products. The student knows this much. Matter is inert in nature. Therefore, material products also are definitely inert in nature. And this body, mind, sense organs, etc., pranas, etc., are all material products. Therefore, they are all inert in nature. Being inert in nature, being material products, they cannot be conscious and sentient. They cannot function being inert in nature. But now the student knows this mind is functioning, sense organs are functioning, pranas are functioning, physical body is active. That means they are all conscious, they are all sentient, and they are all functional and active. That means there must be something else which is distinct, which is different from this mind, body, mind, sense complex. Because of which all these things become conscious, sentient, and active and functional. That's why he asked this question. Is it clear? So he says, Kena ishitam patati preshitam manaha. Manaha patati. Manaha patati. So we can read the Bhashyam also, say, along with that. Kena ishitam. Kena kartra ishitam. See, kena ishitam means, Shankara says here, kena is an interrogative, the pronoun kaha. No? Interrogative pronoun is there, kaha, nominative. And in the instrument case, it is kena, third. Third case is kena. By whom? By what? By which? So, kena kartra, by which agent? By which agent? By which activator? By which doer? Kena kartra, kartra, ishitam, ishtam abhipretam. Ishitam means here, we'll see the many meanings later on. Ishitam, ishtam abhipretam, son, ishtam abhipretam son, manaha patati. So, you can say, propelled by whom, or impelled by whom, or activated by whom, or by what, or directed by which or activated by whom, which substance, or activated by whom, manaha patati. Patati here Shankara gives the meaning gachati. Mind goes, moves towards what here? You have to add here. Svavishayam prati. Shankara says, Svavishayam prati. Kena ishitam manaha patati. Kena ishitam manaha patati. Kena ishtam abhipretam san manaha gachati. The mind goes towards what? The mind goes towards it, you know, Svavishayam prati. the mind goes towards its own objects. The mind goes towards its own objects means what? Prati, svavishayam prati, iti sambadhyate. Sambadhyate means what? Now we have to connect it here. Iti sambadhyate. This is connected to the word manaha. What is connected? The mind goes directed by whom the mind functions. That's the simple meaning. Directed by whom the mind functions. Propelled or impelled by whom, activated by whom the mind functions. That is the actual meaning. Kena ishitam preshitam manaha patati. Kena ishitam, kena preshitam manaha patati. That's the first sentence. But what we have to add now, impelled by whom, or activated or directed by whom, the mind, you know, goes towards its objects. Mind functions, or mind functions in its respective field. That's the meaning. Now, the doubt comes here. We'll see also next one. Kena, say no? Kena. Pranaha, prathamaha, praiti yuktaha. We have to see one or other this. And the Shankara's whole bhashyam here, I tell you, the 3/4 of the bhashyam is totally devoted to the debate on the meanings of the words ishitam and preshitam. The whole bhashyam here, you see the bhashyam here, the whole bhashyam, 3/4 of the bhashyam, you know, is totally on the debate on the meanings of the words ishitam and preshitam. So the rest, last few lines only, he'll finish the commentary on other entire mantra. So we'll see that later on. So we'll just do this now. Kena, say no?
Kena.
Pranaha, prathamaha,
praityuktaha.
So kena yuktaha, prathamaha, pranaha, praiti. That is the prose order. Kena yuktaha, prathamaha, pranaha, praiti. So again same way. Yuktaha means prayuktaha, niyuktaha. I mean, so by whom, kena yuktaha. So directed by whom, or activated by whom, pranaha, prathamaha pranaha. Why pranaha is said to be prathamaha, the foremost of the pranas, foremost. Prana is said to be the foremost because if without the prana, if the prana is not there in the body, then the body will be said to be what? Dead. The body will be dead. If prana becomes non-functional, then the sense organs cannot function as sense organs. Energy will not be there. Without the pranas in the body, there will not be any energy. Without the energy, sense organs cannot function, organs of actions cannot function, even the mind cannot think, even cognition is not possible, even knowledge will not take place. Understand? Minus prana, no energy is possible. Without the energy, no function is possible. Therefore, prana is said to be what now? Prathamaha. Pranaha is said to be prathamaha. So the foremost, the pranaha prathamaha, the prathamaha means important, very important, the prominent prana, no, praiti, the pranaha goes out and goes in, and all these functions, all these physiological functions are happening in the body, no, being impelled by, being directed by, being activated by which principle, or which being, which reality, you know, this prana also functions. That's the meaning. Pranaha functions. Then, he goes one more question again. Kena ishitam vacham imam vadanti. So, imam vacham vadanti. People speak these words. But these words, people speak these words, but these words have to be what now? Kena ishitam vacham. But the words activated by whom, people speak these words, now activated by whom, the words also come out. The words get expressed. People speak these words activated by which principle? Kena ishitam vacham imam vadanti. Imam vacham vadanti. It means what? What is that principle by which the organ of speech is activated? What is that principle? What is that factor, now behind the organ of speech, are activated by whom these, now the words come out, the words are possible, which people speak. Imam vacham vadanti. Then he says, chakshuhu shrotram kau devo yunakti. Now he goes to the other sense organs. See, first he asked about the activator of the mind, then he said activator of the pranas, then he said the vacham, he asked for the activator of the words, organ of speech, which means what? The activator of all the organs of actions. Then he says chakshuhu shrotram kau devo yunakti. Again, yunakti again, what now? Who is that? Kaha devaha. What is that? What is that spiritual effulgent principle which is distinct from this body mansions complex, which inspires, which activates this eye and ear? Ka u deva, leave the u there. Kaha devaha chakshuhu shrotram yunakti. Chakshuhu shrotram yunakti. What is that spiritual principle? What is that? What is that effulgent being which is behind this eyes and ears? Which activates the eyes and ear. Eye and ear or eyes and ears. That's okay. So the first question is about the activator of the mind. Second question is the activator of the pranas. Third question is activator of organs of actions. And fourth question is the activator of, about the activator of the sense organs. So he wants to know what is that principle, spiritual principle, which is distinct and different from these, all these material products, which is the activator of the mind, activator of these pranas, activator of the sense organs, activator of the organs of actions. This is the question, actual question. We can read the verse, again we go to the bhashyam. Keneshitam patati, you know? Preshitam manaha. Kena pranaha prathamaha praiti yuktaha. You are allowed to read. Kena pranaha prathamaha praiti yuktaha. Kena ishitam vacham imam vadanti. Chakshu shrotram kavu devo yunakti. Okay. So we'll go to the next portion. So we've already seen that kena ishitam, kena kartra ishitam, by which agent, by which activator ishitam. Ishita means directed or impelled or propelled. Ishtam abhipretam san. Ishtam abhipretam, being desired by whom or activated by whom, manaha patati. Patati is equal to gachyati. Swavishayam prati iti sambadhyate. Mind goes towards its objects or mind functions in its field. Okay, this is the first question's answer. Then, hereafter, he takes up the different meanings of the word ishit, ish. It's all more grammatical, you see. Ishehe, you know? Abhikshnyarthasya, gatyarthasya, cha, iha, sambhavat, icchartasya, yeva, yetad, rupam, iti gamyate. So he says, this ish dhatuhu belongs to three conjugations. Ishehe means ish dhatoho. Ishehe means ish dhatoho. For ish dhatu, this ish dhatuhu belongs to three different conjugations. And in as a dhatu of three different conjugations, it has three different meanings also. Okay, one, suppose if you say ish, na ishita is a participle. Ishita, ish is the root. It's all more grammar, you have to bear with me. Okay, ish is the root, ishita is participle. And you know the literal meaning of the word mantra now, anyway. So ishita is a participle, and is ish dhatuhu. There is one verb, ishnati. Ishnati. Then ishyate. Then ichyati. Ichyati. I tell you three dhatus. So ishnati. So he says ish. Ishehe. Ishehe means ish dhatu ho, for the ish dhatu. Abhikshnya arthasya. See, abhikshnyam means repetition. Abhikshyam means punaha punaha kathanam. Abhikshnyam. So if you say ish dhatu ho, okay, abhikshna means repetition, and I'll tell you again here. So it has three meanings. I told you ish dhatu belongs to three different conjugations and three different meanings also. So if we take it as a ish dhatu belonging to the ninth conjugation, ish dhatu, which is not necessary for other people, just you can listen. Ish dhatu belonging to ninth conjugation, the verb is ishnati, which is a parasmai padam. Ishnati is a parasmai padam verb. Then the dhatu belongs to ninth conjugation. Then, next, ish dhatuhu belonging to
ikshnati or ishnati?
Ish, ish, ish. Not ikshnati, ishnati. Then ish dhatuhu as a fourth conjugation root, fourth chaturtha ganaha, fourth conjugation root means the verb is ishyati. Ishnati belongs to ninth conjugation. Ishyati belongs to fourth conjugation. Ishyati. Ishnati, Ishyati, fourth conjugation. And sixth conjugation. Ichchati, Ichchati. So, Ish Dhatu, as a ninth conjugation root, it becomes Ishnati. The Ish Dhatu, as a fourth conjugation root, becomes Ishyati. The Ish Dhatu, as a sixth conjugation root, becomes Ichchati. Okay? So, Ishnati means doing anything again and again. Ishnati.
What's the Sha?
Shanmukasha.
Murdasha.
Yeah. Murdhanya. So, Ishnati means what now? Doing anything. Ishnati means what? Again and again doing. Repeatedly doing something is called what? Ishnati. Ishnati means what now? Now he repeats. Saha punaha punaha karoti. If you want to say saha punaha punaha karoti, I can say saha ishnati. That means he repeats the same thing. Ishnati means repeats or does again and again. That is ishnati is the meaning. Then, yeah. That's why Abhikshna Arthe he says. I'm explaining them. Shankara's Bhashma I had to explain now. That's why I'm explaining now. So, Ishdhatuhu belongs to three conjugations. And as a ninth conjugation root, the verb is Ishnati, which means punaha punaha karoti, does again and again, or repeats. That's the meaning. The same Ishdhatuhu as a fourth conjugation root, Ishyati means... No, it means gachati. Gatyarthaka dhatuhu. Travels. Ishyati means travels. Moves. Ishyati means what now? Moves, travels. That's the meaning. As a sixth conjugation root, ish dhatu means ichyati, which means desires, wills. Okay, desires, wills. Have got it now? Therefore, he says now, this is the meaning he wants to say here. Ishehe abhikshnya arthasya. Abhikshnya arthasya means what? As a ninth conjugation meaning. Abhikshnya arthaha means ish dhatu has the meaning of repeatedly doing. Abhikshnyartha. Abhikshnyartha means ishdhatoho. Abhikshnyartha asti. Ishdhatu means, ishdhatu has the meaning of doing something repeatedly. First meaning. Then ishdhatu also means gatyarthasya. Ishdhatu also has the meaning of movement, travel, etc. Okay, mean what now? Gatyarthasya. Ishdhatuhu. Ishehe means ishdhatuhu. Abhikshnyartha asti. Gatyartha asti. It has the meaning of movement. It has the meaning of moving, going, traveling. Okay. Then, cha and iha asambhavat. Iha asambhavat. What he says, in this context, the ishdhatu cannot mean what now the meaning cannot have. In this context, the ishdhatu cannot have the meaning of repeated doing, or it cannot have the meaning of movement or traveling. Isn't it? Then what does it mean here in this context? Iha asambhavat. asambhavatma, it does not happen here. Na sambhavati. These two meanings do not befit here. These two meanings do not come here. Asambhavat. It cannot happen here. Which meanings cannot happen here? Abhikshnyartha. The meaning of repeated doing also is not possible. The meaning of movement or going and coming also is not possible. Therefore, here it means what now? Sambhavat. Icha artasya eva. Icha artasya eva yetad rupam iti gamyate. Therefore, what is the meaning we should take here? Icha artasya eva. Etad rupam. So here, this ishitam is actually, means what now? Desired, willed. Icha artasya eva etad rupam. This means, in this context, this verb means only the meaning of desiring, willing. Paranga, this is what Shankara's Bhasham. One should have great patience. Now what study understand now? Actually this is only from Kena Upanishad, Bhashyam becomes a serious Bhashyam study. In Mundaka and Kata, Bhashyams are not that difficult. But from Kena onwards, the actual seriousness comes in the Bhashya study. Purida, so what he wants to say before, now Shankara, I'm going to say every word he is going to comment now. We have to see the commentary of Shankara's commentary means on every word. That's why we first do the mean literal meaning of the mantra. We all know the mean mantra's meaning very clearly now. What is the meaning of the mantra meaning? Now, what is the spiritual principle which is distinct from the body mind sense complex because of the presence of which, you know, directed by what or impelled by what, the mind functions in its field, pranas function in their field, sense organs function, you know, also the organs of actions function. That's the question. But Shankara started answering the question, isn't it? So first he answered what? Manaha. Isn't it? First he said manaha. Mind functions in its field, impelled by which spiritual principle? The question is over. Then he dared in itself, he took the first word, ishitam. he comments upon the first word, ishitam. One word only, this first mantra takes very long, okay? Ishitam he takes. Commentary on the ishitam. And ishitam, this ishitam is a participle of the dhatu, past passive participle of the root ish. Understood. Okay, fine. But ish dhatuhu belongs to three different conjugations. But in as a dhatu of different three different conjugations, it gives three different meanings. So ish dhatuhu as the ninth conjugation root, the verb is ishnati, which means does repeatedly, makes repeatedly. So repeated performance, that's the meaning of the word ishnati. Then ishdatuhu as a fourth conjugation verb, it means ishyati, which means what? Which means gachati. So which means which has the meaning of movement, moving. Then ish dhatuhu as the dhatu of the sixth conjugation means what? Ichchati, desires, wills. Now here Shankara says, here which meaning of the ish dhatu should be taken in this context? Okay? Which meaning should be taken? Should we take the meaning of the repeated performance, repeated act, repeated doing, or should we take the meaning of movement, or should we take the meaning of desiring or willing? He says, ishehe abhikshnya artasya gatyartasya cha iha asambhavat. in this context, iha means in this context, asambhavat does not happen. What does not happen? Does not fit this meaning. Abhikshnya artha. Abhikshnya artha. Abhikshnyam means repeatedly doing. Isn't it? So, repeat, the sense of repeatedly doing or the meaning of movement, these two mean, of these two meanings, you know, iha asambhavat. Here, these two meanings do not come. Then, which meaning should we take then? He says, Icha artasya eva etad rupam. In this context, the root-ish means, root-ish takes only the meaning of the sixth conjugation, which means Icha, desires, the meaning of desires or wills. The meaning of desiring and willing alone should be taken in this context. This is understood. Iti gamyate. Is it clear now? Have you got it? Iti gamyate means it is understood here. It is arrived at here that the root ish takes only the meaning of desiring or willing, not the other two meanings of repeated doing and movement. Yeah, see, abhiksha artasya abhiksha artasya sambhavaha nasti asambhavat. See, it's all long compounds, Pitaji. If you go into details, it will take very long. I don't mind doing it. See, abhikshnya artaha na sambhavati. If I spit it, abhikshnya artaha na sambhavati. Abhikshnya artaha na sambhavati. Gatyartaha na sambhavati. Na sambhavati iti karanat. Asambhavat. Okay? Na sambhavati. Does not befit. Doesn't happen here. Those meanings do not come here. Do not come here. Which meaning comes here? Iti agam. Icha artasya eva yetad rupam. The ishitam here is a form what now? Ishitam is a word which has the meaning of desiring. Icha artasya eva yetad rupam iti gamyate. It is arrived at that the word here ishitam has the meaning, is used in the sense of desiring, willing. Icha artasya eva etad rupam iti gamyate. It is arrived at. Is it clear now? Therefore, what does it mean here? Tatra okay. Before going into that, I want to tell you here. So, instead of Shankara says, why we use the word Icha, will here? Will implies, the word will implies, activator means it becomes an action, isn't it? Activated by whom, impelled by whom, propelled by whom, mind, body, mind sense complex functions. If you say, sorry, mind, body, mind, complex function, if you say, then activator means, or directed means, that direction or activation becomes an action. So, you know, Atma is of the nature of actionlessness. Therefore, he says, that blessed by whom, willed by whom, isn't it? Blessed by whom? He says, don't take it seriously. The meaning, idea he gives is, why those things are not there? Those meanings should not be taken here. Because activation or impelling or propelling, those verbs really what now? Make the Atma the Karta. But here Atma is not the Karta. Therefore, he says, by blessed by whom? That will implies blessing. Blessed by whose presence? Blessed by whom means by mere presence of whom. Kena should be understood as by the mere presence of which spiritual principle, which is distinct from the body maintenance complex. You know, these all of them function by the mere presence of which principle. That should be the meaning. To take it as by the mere presence of, to get the meaning of the mere presence of, to get the meaning of the mere presence of, you have to use the word blessed by whom. You have to make it what now? Blessed by whom. To get the meaning of blessed by whom, you should use the word what now? Willed by whom. Or desired by whom. Not, is it clear now? We have to get this meaning. First he answered this, okay? First he takes the word Ishitam, he has answered. Why the word Ishitam means, which meaning is taken here? The meaning of desiring or willing is taken here. And because the meaning of desiring or willing implies the blessing. Gives the meaning of blessing. Blessing implies the meaning of what? Mere presence. So, by the mere presence of which spiritual principle, the mind functions in its field. Everything else functions in their respective field. Is it clear now? That is over. That is over now. But now, the Purupakshi will come and ask the question. The student has to ask the question here. Before the answer, we'll see another one. Ishitam iti it prayogastu chandasaha tasya eva prapurvasya niyogarthe प्रेषितम् इति एतत् नाउ ही सेज इशितम् इति इट प्रयोगस्तु इशितम् इति इट प्रयोगः मीन्स छान्दसः इशितम् दिस वर्ब इट्स अ इट प्रयोगस्तु छान्दसः इट इज वैदिक यूसेज हियर Tasya eva, for the same Ishitam he says, prapurvasya. Prapuraha means what now? If you add the prefix pra with the verb Ishita, if you add the prefix pra with the verb Ishita, participle Ishita, it becomes what now? Pra plus Ishita becomes Preshita. Preshita. So he says, Prapurvasya niyogarte preshitam iti etat. So, then when you add pra, it means what now? Niyogartaha. Niyogartaha means what now? Direction. Okay? Directed by. So, directed by which principle, spiritual principle, all of the mind functions in its field, mind goes towards its corresponding object, or mind functions in its field. When how does it get the meaning of direction? With the addition of pra prefix. So here, the Upanishad has used both the words, Ishitam and Preshitam. Why it has used here? The mind, because the student's question isn't it, Kena Ishitam Preshitam Manaha Praiti Patati. Kena ishitam preshitam manaha patati. So impelled by what, propelled by what, directed by what, the mind functions in its field. The student uses two different words. One word is enough. That means what? Ishitam, ichartaha also, no, itself is enough, but still the prapurvaha, when the prefix pra is added to the same meaning only, not different meaning, but directed by what? Their direction does not mean an action there. Direction means blessing. Okay? The direction means blessing. Blessing implies what? The mere presence of. Not an action. The spiritual principle behind the mind and senses does not do any action by its mere presence. By its mere presence, in the presence of, by the mere presence of which spiritual principle, mind functions in its field, or everything else functions in their own respective field. That's the meaning. So prapurvasya, same meaning only, he says. Prapurvasya api niyogarthe. Niyogaha means in the sense of direction. And even then, the word direction also means what? Blessing. Now we have left all other meanings now. We have taken the meaning of what? Blessing. Blessing implies by its mere presence. Till now there is no problem. Only now the Purupakshi will come.
So the first statement then is, blessed by whom does the blessed mind function?
Not the blessed mind.
Okay.
Blessed by, presence? Yeah. See, blessed by whom, which spiritual principle the mind functions in its field. Blessed by whom the our sense organ, the prana, functions. Blessed by whom this our sense organs function. Blessed by whom these organs of actions function. That's the meaning. But blessed by implies what? Blessing implies by the mere presence. Blessing implies mere presence. Is it clear now? By the mere presence of. That means you can never say anything against what Shastram says. Because we will come with all sorts of doubts. Because later we are going to understand Atma is of the nature of actionlessness. So even he comments, because the student feels, he doesn't know how to put it. So first he said Ishitam. Then because it has three meanings, he has put one more word, Preshitam. Because the word Preshitam follows the verb Ishitam. See, impelled by, propelled by, activated by, directed by which spiritual principle the mind functions in its field? That's his first question. Then Shankara explains that it has three meanings, but definitely it means what? It has the meaning of that desiring, willing. And willing again means only the blessing. Willing or desiring means only blessing. Blessing means only the mere presence. How do you know? That is understood very clearly by the following one more word used by the student, Preshitam. He is prapurvasya ishitasya. Okay? When the pra is added to the prefix pra is added to the same verb Preshitam, the ishitam, it becomes Preshitam. Preshitam means what now? Sent. Sent means what? Again, directed. So direction means, and that means the ishitam has the meaning of what? Direction. Why? He uses another word. Both the words mean the same. But with the prefix pra, it means directed by whom. So that direction actually is not an action again. Direction means blessing. Blessing implies what? Presence. What is the actual meaning you get here? By the mere presence, by whose mere presence? by the mere presence of which spiritual principle mind functions in its field. Is it clear? That's the meaning. How do you get the meaning? Because the student uses two verbs. Which verb? Second verb? Preshitam. And why? How do you get the word preshitam? It is a pra, the same ishitam with the prefix pra. It means niyogartha. It has the meaning of niyoga. Niyogartha means what now? Having the sense of directing. Meaning of directing. So niyogartha means what now? Ishprashita means directed by whom. Therefore, that second word preshitam used by the student supports the first meaning of the first word, ishitam, being what? The willing or the desiring, that meaning the blessing or the mere presence. How do you arrive at it? The word ishita means blessing. Blessing means what? By its mere presence. How do you know that? Because the same student used another word with the prefix pra, the preshitam. The student could have used only one word, okay? He used two verbs. Directed by which spiritual principle? Propelled by which principle? Activated by which principle? Isn't it? You know? Willed by whom? Desired by whom? This, you know, other meanings leave other meanings. Even you take the meaning of willed by whom, desired by whom, you know, this mind functions in its field. Then willed and desired means again the kartrutvam might come. Therefore he says, the student's own another word, preshitam, with the prefix pra, it has a sense of directing. Meaning of directing. So directed by whom, willed by whom, desired by whom means directed by whom. Directed by whom means what now? Direction there again means blessed by whom. So blessing, whose blessings means by, in the presence of, by mere presence of whom. In the mere presence of whom. Whose mere presence, you know, makes the mind function in its field. Is it clear? Don't worry, he goes on and on and on. Long bhashyam here. See, he doesn't say really, who studied bhashyam is supposed to be knowing lots of grammar. So he takes it for granted. He says, come on, immediately he thinks the student must be a very, very clever student and he must be knowing what are all the possible meanings of the verb ishitam. Because he has to say, as a teacher, I have to explain all these things. He expects you to know, Ishdhatu has what? Gatyartaha. Ishdhatu has what? Abhikshnyartaha. Abhikshnyam means punaha punaha karanam. Repeated performance. Okay? Ishnati. Punaha punaha karoti. That's the meaning. So, abhikshnyartaha asti. Then, gatyartaha asti. Now, then, ichartaha api asti. But which meaning should I take? The student might ask. So, he says, before the student asks, he says, first two meanings you should not take. Ninth conjugation meaning, fourth conjugation meanings are not taken here. Had take the meaning of the sixth conjugation meaning, desires, wills. There again, you might get the doubt, you might have a doubt, what? Willing, desiring means, then kartrutvam may be there. Therefore, that question might come, isn't it? Is there somebody sitting there, activating here, willing? That means, therefore, the student's own answer comes, what now? He himself puts another verb, preshitam. The preshitam also is what now? Same verb root only, but with the prefix pra. When the prefix is added to the root, the meaning changes. Not only ichartha, ishitam for ichartha only, but the prefix pra, the ish dhatuhu has the meaning of niyogaha, niyogartha bhavati. Ish prapurvakasya ish dhatoho niyogartha bhavati. Niyogartha means what now? Directing, direction. So preshita means, ishita means preshita. He says, student says, preshita means directed. But there again, toward the confusion, direction implies here actually blessings. Blessed by whom? Blessed by the presence of whom? So blessed me again means what? Directed means blessed by. Blessed by means by the mere presence of. Blessing always implies mere presence. See, by the blessing of light, we all see each other's face. Understand? Blessed by the light, we all see each other's face means it's a blessing. How do you understand the word blessing? Not by any action, by the mere presence. Even the word blessing in English language, understand in it the expressiveness only in Sanskrit. Do you get the point of what I'm saying? Blessing means what? Blessing is never an action. By the mere presence. May you live happily. I had this, we take it as a blessing, isn't it? The words are expressions. The thought is an action, isn't it? The expression. But the source is what? Without which even the words are not possible, isn't it? May you be happy when I say, it's a words of, it's expression of blessing, not the blessing. What is that expression is by the presence of which expression is possible. You get, see the English word blessing, you don't really get the meaning in English dictionary. Get the point? May you all be happy when I say this expression of my thought. The thought is what? Expression of? Thought always expression only. That the thought is possible, expression of thought is possible because of what? Is it? That is actually the blessing. So by the mere presence. Get the point now? So, ishitam, preshitam are the two past passive participles used by the student. And preshitam, the verb preshitam, the past passive participle preshitam, confirms the meaning of the word ishitam being direction. Direction which implies blessing. Blessing actually means the mere presence. Therefore, the meaning should be taken as blessed by whom, or the mere presence of whom, okay, but whose mere presence makes the mind function in its field, makes all the organs function in their respective field.
The missing link here is how you go from direction to blessing. I understand how you go from blessing to mere presence, but how you go from direction to blessing, I don't. How the pra prefix?
No, pra prefix only gives the meaning of direction. From willing.
From willing.
Willing. But direction itself, he says, directly says, direction itself implies the blessing.
Yes, Shankaracharya. So the word So Shankara has told us, so this word Niryoga, is that it?
Niyogaha.
Niyogaha.
Niyogarte preshitam. Niyogartaha means, Niyogaha means direction.
Niyogaha means direction.
So Niyogarte means in the sense of directing, direction. So, therefore, preshitam is what now? Directed. So, directed by whom? The mind functions in its respective field. But here, even there, again Shankara says, why he uses two verbs? Ishitam itself would have been enough. Again he uses the word preshitam, which again means directed. The two verbs he uses to make it very clear, there is no verb here, which means directed also by you repeating the word direction. One word ishitam itself would have been enough. By using one more verb preshitam, which means which has the meaning of direction, the student tries to express that the meaning being blessing. That's what Shankara's explanation. That's what implied here. That's what tradition has to understand. Uh-huh. Only the teacher has to understand that. That is why sampradaya, isn't it? You can't get the meaning. Otherwise, niyogarthe, when he says two meanings, the usage of two verbs itself, is expression of the student's mind. It expresses the student's mind that the niyogartha, direction, means blessing. So, blessed by whom? That is the meaning. And the blessing implies mere presence. That you have to learn from the teacher. That's why sampradaya is very important.
Yeah, because if you had directed by whom, directed, it means just seeing the director still.
That's why teacher, understand now. The sampradaya, that is why this all we get from the teachers only. But anyway, the poor Pakshi's answer question will come, it will make it very clear, don't worry. So don't need to take it very seriously. You can take it that way. The following explanation itself will clear all your doubts. I just know this much you understood. Tatra preshitam iti eva ukte tatra preshitam ityevokte preshayitru preshayitru preshana visesha vishaya akanksha syat kena preshayitru visheshena preshayitru visheshena kidrusham va preshanam iti. He says, tatra preshitam ityeva ukte. If you say, okay, the word ishitam and preshitam mean the same. Preshitam, when you say, use the word preshitam, then what happens? Preshayitru preshana visesha vishaya akanksha syat. There comes the doubt, what you know. Preshayitru visheshaha and preshanam. Preshayitru, you know, there is a act director. Preshayita means director, activator. Preshayitru means director, activator. Then preshanam is what? Activation, direction. Then what form of direction? See, you ask the question now. That's why he himself is going to answer now. The doubt might come, isn't it? When you say, okay, now you understood very clearly. What is that? The word ishitam means what now? Willed or desired. So, which is supported by another word, preshitam, which means directed. Directed by whom? willed by whom, desired by whom, directed by whom, mind functions in its field. That is fine. But when you say the preshayitru, presha, no? When you say the preshitam, when you use the word preshitam, there comes what? When you use the word preshitam in the sense of directed, that means there must be who now? Director. Preshayitru. By which director? Who is the director? By which director it is directed? Mind is directed by which director? Then what's form of direction? Kidrusham va preshanam. Iti. No? What form of direction? Somebody is directing. Somebody is a director means there is a direction. You should know. So, this is the person, director. This is the director. This is how I am directed to do. Isn't it? This is the person, director, and this is how I am directed to do. The doubt, akanksha might come. Therefore, preshayitru viseshaha means the agent of that action. The action of direction. Then preshanam, kidrusham va preshanam, what sort of direction it is? Who is the director? What is the director? And what sort of direction is it? This doubt might come when you use the word preshitam. Kidrusham va preshanam, what sort of direction it is, and kena preshayitru viseshena, by which director it is directed, what form of direction it is, iti akanksha syat. Inquisitiveness or desire or doubt might arise. So here again he says, come on, don't ask all these questions. So Shankara says now, Ishitam iti tu viseshane sati tad ubhayam nivartate. Ubhayam nivartate. You take that proper meaning. Kasya iccha matrena preshitam iti artha visesha nirdharanat. Iccha matrena preshitam iti artha nirdharanat. Iccha matrena means just by mere willing. By the mere willing. Okay? This direction, the word direction means again what? By mere willing. Merely by willing. Sometimes for us, you have to desire, then you have to do also what? Merely desiring is not enough. The desire has to be followed by action. For us, for anything to be accomplished, desire without desire, nothing can be accomplished. But mere desire, by merely desiring also, nothing can be accomplished. Desire has to be implemented in the form of action, isn't it? So without desire also, nothing is accomplished. Mere desire also is not enough for accomplishing things. Desire always has to be followed by action. But here, iccha matrena. So Shankaracharya again says, now he is asking, see, the two verbs are used by the student. You know, the preshita, you ask the question, no, how do I get the meaning? That's why the meaning is coming up now. I have already explained that. Preshitam iti, when you use the word preshitam, it means directed, which raises the question, who is the directed, by whom is it directed, what sort of direction is there? No, that doubt goes, how he says, iccha matrena iti avadharanat. Iccha matrena means by mere willing, by mere willing, how he goes other verb again now. This meaning has to be clearly understood as what direction means, but by mere will. Mere will means what? The will or desire which is not followed by action. Micha matra means by mere will. The meaning of the word direction, again, should be taken as what? Blessing. How do you get arrive at the meaning of the word blessing? From direction, how do you arrive at the meaning of the word blessing? By the mere will. How do you get the meaning? The previous prashitam. Understand now? Mere will. By Icha Matrena means by mere will. By the mere will. Merely by willing. By whose? By mere willing. You know, the mind functions in its field. That mere willing implies the blessing. Blessing implies mere presence. That means what? The mere willing, mere desire, which is not followed by action. So, without following any action, by mere willing, by mere desiring, the mind is activated. Means, the word there means, the willing means, the direction also means, by blessing. So, blessing implies what? Mere presence. Therefore, what is the meaning now? How do you arrive at it now? By the mere presence of which spiritual principle, the distinct different principle, the mind functions in its field. Sense organs, organs of actions, the pranas function in their field. Or is it the words we don't need to act? This is the only thing you have to understand. Is if you ask the question, how do we arrive at this? It goes back to the same meaning. Icha matrena. Is it clear now? Icha matrena. That artha meaning itself is what now? Mere willing implies what? Action not following that. Action not following implies what? Blessing. Blessing implies what? Mere presence. Is it clear now? So he's going to ask a very different question, which we'll see next class. Very, the big Purupaksha comes. Big Purupaksha comes, the whole thing will be on, the whole Bhashyam is on Preshita and Ishta. He's going to fight with Shankara now. He's going to answer that. Shankara will make it very clear. So say now, Om Keneshitam Patati. Preshitam manaha kena prana pratamaha praiti yuktaha keneshitam vachamimam vadanti chakshushrotram kavudevo yunakti. See, ubayam nivartate, when you say, these two doubts go. What is that? Who is the activator? Who is the director? What sort of direction? That doubt will go. How? How does it go? Icha matrena. Kasya icha matrena preshitam. Iti artha visesha nirdharanat. Nirdharana means what now? By ascertaining the meaning. Nirdharanat means by ascertaining the meaning. Which meaning? That Icha Matrena itself means, Icha Matrena means by mere will. The mere will, which implies mere blessing. The blessing implies mere presence. Therefore, what is the last thing you should take now? By the mere presence of whom the mind is activated. Mind becomes activated. The mind functions in its field.
Sorry, do you mind? That translation you just translate by the mere presence of whom, which translates as Preshitam, but it doesn't translate Ishitam Manaha.
No, that is what I'm saying. Two words together, the student wants to, because he finds it difficult to say, any word used there becomes what? An action, unpleasant action. He uses two words, Ishitam and Preshitam, in the sense of, one in the sense of Icha, one in the sense of direct desire, another in the sense of direction. Therefore, if you take the word, then the question comes, if you say it means directed, then who is the director, what form of direction is there? And that doubt resolves if you take the meaning Icha Matra, by mere will. When you take the meaning of the word mere will, then you get the word mere blessing. Mere blessing implies mere presence. Therefore, direction implies what? Mere presence.
So, Ishitam is not a visheshana for Manaha. It's not an adjective describing the mind. Ishitam Manaha.
Both verbs. Ishitam, Preshitam, both were verbs there. Both are verbs, and don't take it as Ishitam Manaha.
I suppose I just stuck in my head with this translation, which is, by what is the directed mind or the willed mind directed?
No, both are verbs. That is why, the student uses two verbs. See, if the student asks only one verb, it would have been easier, isn't it? Kena Ishitam Manaha Manaha Patati. Would have been enough. Kena Preshitam Manaha Patati would have been enough. But the student uses both the verbs. Therefore, Shankara has to give the meaning correctly. Not Ishitam Manaha. Kena Ishitam Manaha Patati. Kena Preshitam Manaha Patati. Why two verbs? Explains, because Ishitam has three meanings. The word Ishitam has three meanings. As what? Repeatedly done meaning. The meaning of repeatedly done. The meaning of movement. And the meaning of desired and willed also. Of the three, other two meanings do not befit here. You should take the meaning of desired. Isn't it? Again, the desire or will, and therefore he makes use one more verb, Preshitam, which means the same Ishitam with the prefix pra means directed. Directed means, then you said, the directed by whom this mind is, mind functions in its field when the question comes, then who is the director, what direction it is? Iti akanksha inquisitiveness might arise. Then, that inquisitiveness about the director and the direction goes, if you take the meaning of the word, what now, this connected to the previous word's meaning, mere willing. So by mere willing, by mere desiring, not by doing anything, which means by the blessing, which implies by its mere presence. Is it clear? Anyway, it is not over. It will become clear tomorrow next class. And this much is enough today? This much today you have to understand, not more than this. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti.